Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Curtis Gibbons III is an LSU signing. Four-star point guard prospect and Memphian, who last weekend scored a team-high 24 points in the Chipotle Nationals. It was the final. It was up in Indiana. Led Montverde to a national title clinching win. National championships. Been 2 years now he's been in Montverde, and what a decision it was to go. He joins us now along with his father of the same name, Curtis Gibbons. Like we mentioned, headed to LSU. I imagine you got a nice little break now after winning a national title before it's time to head off to LSU, Curtis?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, tell us about it. How did it feel? I think it was on Saturday or this weekend, holding up that national title trophy, man, all that work that you had put in.
It felt great, honestly. You know, looking back at the picture, it was, if I can define it in one word, it was just sacrifice. You know, I sacrificed so much in the past 2 years. I gave up being away from my family, you know, to being limited, you know, on the court to maybe 4 or 5 shots a game. And I feel like it made me the player that I am today. You know, I'm a better defender. You know, I make better decisions. And, you know, I just thank Montverde for that.
So the player that left here 2 years to go and the player that I'm looking at right now and that folks are listening to, would you say it's two different guys in terms of what you learned, the experience that you've gained?
Right. Oh, I definitely think it's two different players. Because, you know, before leaving here, I was more of an offensive player. You know, my defense was, you know, it was all right. But, you know, in the past 2 years, and especially this past year, I felt like my defense grew a lot. And some people label me as the best defender in the country now. And it's honestly, it's an honor, you know, to be able to go from a scoring role to a defensive role. So, you know, I think that's really big time. And it says a lot about my mentality. You know, I could have easily pouted. But, you know, I took the role that was given to me, and I made the best of it.
Was there, and John, I'm going to let you get in here because I know you got some, but I wanted to ask him, did you hear, were there doubts publicly when you made the decision to go to Montverde, leave with MUS? Right. Could have been a star here in Memphis, do your own thing here. Did you hear doubts at all, people saying, Kurt's making the wrong decision? And if you did hear those criticism and doubts, was it fuel? Was it motivation for you?
Right. When I made the decision to leave, I definitely think there was doubt in other people's minds. You know, they say I wouldn't really play that much or I wouldn't really play at all. And even the head coach, Coach Boyle, told me that I might be the 10th or 11th man. But I went in, I used that as fuel. And the middle of my junior year, I was a starting point guard. And when I was starting, we didn't lose. And obviously, you know, this past year, we went 33-0 and won the championship.
Incredible.
So I think that speaks volume about me and the player that I am.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, for CG3, sorry I couldn't be there. I got two kids and I got pink eye.
We didn't want to get you
every day
eye,
in my
bro.
House is an absolute
there.
Mess.
We're trying to keep you safe.
So we're just trying to you know, stay out of the way. But you know, you have an interesting you know, story because you spent 2 years at MUS, and then I think like any kid would do in your situation, with a chance to go to a place like Montverde, you do it. But how do you sort of view those 2 years at MUS, where it was a different experience? It was sort of the local school experience here in Memphis. And do you think that as you look back, having sort of both experiences, both here in Memphis and at the national level, how do you sort of view how each sort of chapter helped you as a player?
Right. I believe my first 2 years at MUS, it really made me grow. You know, obviously, me coming in as a freshman, I played with a lot of seniors. So in the high school game, from middle school to high school, the game was, you know, really fast. So I had to adjust really quick. You know, going out there my freshman year, I was expected to be the leader, and I felt like I grew a lot my freshman year. and as well as my sophomore year. And then, you know, heading to Montverde the last 2 years, I felt like it was time for me to grow up. And, you know, I had a lot of ups and downs, a lot of stepping stones, but I feel like it made me the player that I am today, and it was a great experience for me.
Dad,
just
gotta,
a follow-up.
Go ahead,
just a follow-up.
Yeah.
Like CG3, do you think that most players, and I'm just sort of asking your opinion here, do you think most players need to have those, you know, 1 or 2 years maybe at their high school in Memphis or wherever the case may be before they take that step because of just how different it is?
Right. I definitely do. I think, you know, 1 to 2 years here and then heading off to prep school, if you get the opportunity, I definitely think it's a great decision to make, you know, but just because it makes you grow up and it really, you know, it tests who you truly are. And you can really see what you're about, you know, when you take those, however, 1 or 2 years at prep school, you can really see what you're about and see what you're made of. So I definitely think if you get to all the kids out there, if you do get the opportunity, you know, your last year or last 2 years to go to prep school, I definitely think you should take it.
Talking to Curtis Givens III here, LSU signee, national champ down at Montverde. We've got his father here, too, of the same name. This is a question for both of y'all. The conversations between you two, and particularly for you, Dad, because Curtis just said it, sometimes you got to go through some things, right, to build up and become the man, the player that you eventually will. So I know there's been times where he struggled, or maybe times where he wasn't the number one option. He's not starting, or he's down, and he's got to work his way up. How, as a father, right, what are you saying in those conversations where maybe son is a little down, but you or whatever, or discouraged, whatever it is? How do you know when to push, when to pull off, and how, you know, how what was there tension in those conversations? Was he always up? Did you have to talk him through some of it? How tough did some of those times get?
Well, some of the times got tough. You know, I'm gonna say the difference between me and Curtis, CG3, but we have when it comes to basketball, we have a partnership. I'm really not dad. Right?
Okay. Tell us more. Yeah, it's a partnership.
Yeah, it's a partnership, and I learned that from my dad. You understand what I'm saying? And with that partnership, he's more receptive to what I'm saying versus me being in dad mode. Okay, so let me give you an example. When you're in dad mode, you cringe on every shot they miss.
Oh, my. Tell me about it.
Okay?
Okay.
All right? Yeah. When you know realistic, the best shooters in the world shoot 40%. I mean, they're going to miss over half of their shots, right? Mm-hmm. So when you're in partnership mode, you don't cringe when they miss shots. You say, hey, we're shooting 28%. Let's get up to 35%. Let's get to 40%, right?
Yep.
So with me and CG3, we never had a bad relationship in terms of him not wanting to be receptive to the things I say, or him, the training, or things like that. And I filtered dad mode a whole lot. And what really helped me with this, okay? And you know, I can tell parents, I guess I can just say it now to those parents out there, but what really helped me with Curtis was me coaching for 5 years. I got a chance to see, because, you know, when I had them at a young age, you know, they was number one in the country. For
Dream Chasers.
Yeah, Dream Chasers.
Yeah.
But I had talented guys, but I got a chance to see how they felt about their parents coaching them from the sideline, how they felt about their parents telling them, hey, you go in the championship game and you shoot 15 shots. I saw that,
mm-hmm.
right? And I said to myself, I'm not going to be that kind of dad.
Got it.
Okay, because yep. if their dad knew the things their son said to me, they probably would have put him out, but it was truthful. So with Curtis, we just formed a partnership, right? And, you know, we all can learn things, but I never forget one thing I learned. I went to a parent meeting at PDS, and it was a basketball camp or something. And, you know, sometimes we think we know it all. But one thing I took from there, I remember he said, after every game, right, tell your son way to go and fist bump. Don't even talk about it.
Bosses, bad performances, do it after
Period.
Every game?
And he'll tell you. You know, ever since he'd been in 7th, 8th grade, he stopped looking at me in the stands, because we established a relationship. Because what I want to tell parents, and if I got time, it's just a few pointers.
By all means, me and Brad, definitely, and John is the father of two now. We're all
I'm listening closely.
Again, listen to me. I don't know all the answers, okay? Let me be clear about that, okay? Because we still carving out how to make him an elite college player, right?
Yep.
we accomplished the elite high school player. But now, how do we accomplish make the next level, right? So I don't have all the answers. But I have seen, and you know I'm a very detailed person because I'm entrepreneurship, so I'm going to look at things a little different. Mm-hmm. But my advice to parents out there, okay, it's a bunch of stuff, and I want to just run it down to us all. Your kid is only your MVP. Think about what I'm saying. He's only your MVP,
mm-hmm.
right? Nobody else cares, okay? Don't worry about how many points they score, all right?
Yep.
How many people we saw got drafted that average 8 points? How many people we see that's at high major schools that won championship averaging 10 points and things,
mm-hmm.
right? Don't get caught up on the points. It's way more to basketball. And Mount Verde taught me a whole lot about being a parent, okay? Because for the first time, you got to think, when he was a sophomore here, he averaged 18
right.
points.
Running things.
I mean, he was running things. AAU and the EYBL. But when he got there, he could only take 3 to 4 shots because you got a Cooper Flag and a Derrick Queen at your
right.
school. So now you have to adjust your role, right?
Be efficient with less.
Got to be efficient with less, right? As a parent, that's a hard deal when all you worry about is points, okay? So it taught me something because it was like take it or leave it, okay?
Right.
Okay, we could have easily came back to Memphis, but not saying it wouldn't have been bad, but which one better, right? But what we did when Curtis first got down there, he wasn't starting because they had all the 5 stars, right?
Mm-hmm.
He'll tell you, I'll be real with him. I told him, I don't know what to tell you. You need to figure out what the coach wants and win him over. And I think a lot of parents go wrong by telling them, you need to do this, you need to do this, my son could do this.
Words out of my mouth.
It's a team thing, and you have to learn some patience, right? Coaching from the sideline. People who matter, and to all parents out here who want to see their kids be successful, okay? Do not coach your son from the sideline. Bad as you want to see him do good in that game, it's not the end of the world. Because here go the reality. What they don't know when they get between the 4 lines that day, they just don't know.
They don't know.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why that's when the partnership come back into play, where you can sit down, look at film. Okay? Now, I'm going to give you a kicker. And I do this with Curtis now. Right? And, of course, it'll elevate as you get older. We don't talk about nothing, good or bad, for 24 hours. We don't. Am I lying, Curtis? We don't even talk about it.
After the game?
We don't even talk about it.
What, whole day?
Whole day.
So you've done the good game thing, and good game, that's been pretty much it?
That's it.
Not discussing anything.
We get to talking about something else or some memes we see on Instagram or something else. We do not talk about it.
Completely away from the game.
Love it.
We do not, am I lying, Curtis? We do not talk about it. Okay? It's a lot of things he can do better in the game, right?
Sure.
But what I do, I just choose one. I send him the film. Hey, we got to get better on this hook pass, right? And I leave it at that, right? I don't say, oh, we got to do this hook pass. Hey, man, on here you should have shot the ball. We master this, right? And you got to do that because now it keeps him in a mode where he's receptive to the information and it's not crowding his mind. So him going down there for 2 years, only being told by coach, hey, you ain't going to get number 3 to 5 shots, right? It was a blessing to me and him.
Yeah, sound like y'all both learned a lot, and he became a better player.
He became what they consider, and this is always opinion, but the coaches consider him the best perimeter defender in the country. He held every 5-star guard. Now, I'm talking about guys that are going to be potential pros to below their average. Okay?
Yeah.
He basically locked them up.
McMahon gonna love that.
He set good screens. But we already know what he can do offensively, right? We saw that at MUS. We saw that on EYBL on the house. So with this, when it wasn't sexy enough, when I'm like, damn, he only averaging 6 points. When I started to talk to college coach and NBA scouts, he was becoming a better player.
Mm-hmm.
Learning how to make the right reads, defend, screens, rebound, and affect the game without scoring.
Yeah,
right?
Just as
important. Because here go the kicker to all parents out there. Think about what I'm finna say. Durant and Steph Curry were the best, some of the best in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
They played 48 minutes, right? Look at their attempts, 16 attempts a game. This in a pro game, man. How the hell you want your son to take 20 shots?
Right.
Think about that. Durant, Steph, AD, LeBron. What they be? 14 shots, 15 shots. Six. These are the best in the world. How do you expect so? Curtis will tell you, in the beginning of the season, I said, Curtis, be efficient with your 5 or 6 shots. He was counting pouty mode a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I had to fly down.
I'm sure you've averaged 18 at one point. You know you can score.
But not pouty mode where he let it affect it, but I'm talking about behind the scenes.
I got you.
And I had to straighten him, right? I'm like, this bigger than you. This is a team.
And this is a partnership talk as opposed to father talking to son like you've talked
about. That's right. I said, let's be efficient with our 5 or 6 shots. Let's lock down on defense. Let's limit our turnovers. He went in a season, in the middle of the season, shooting 1 for 6, 2 for 5, 2 for 7, till the last half of the season, shooting over 55% from three.
Went up.
Right? In his last high school game of his career, he shot 100% from the field. And then you saw what he did in the championship game.
Yeah.
But Curtis, what I commend him on that championship game, this is why I still believe in the man above. I really do, and I feel like my daddy was.
Came off the bench in the championship game.
Well.
And led the team in scoring.
Let me say this. They had 6 starters.
Mm-hmm.
So coach rotated star lineup. This is a lot of time Cooper Flagg didn't start.
Because I knew he was starting at one point. That's what I'm wondering.
They rotated. Like, every 5 games, you wouldn't start.
Gotcha.
That was the agreement they had, right? But check this out. This is why I commend Curtis. He had a couple of teammates, great guys, but they just were pouty when they turned to start. They didn't play well off the bench. So in the first 2 games, Curtis guarded the best man on both teams. Locke, I think the first guy had 4 points. He normally averaged 18. Other guy averaged 20. Curtis locked him down to 2 points. And Curtis only had 2 points the first game in the quarter.
Yeah, 2 points in the first
and
game.
Six and 6 other.
In the second game.
When the – this where it comes when you be real with your kids, right? Curtis locked in his role. Curtis told me, he told his teammates, man, I don't care if I score 0 points. I just want to win the game.
No.
Right? He told Coach, because he knew Coach was in the dilemma. It was on ESPN about who he was going to start. Curtis went to the coach. Coach will tell you this. And said, Coach, I don't want my teammates to be in a funk because I want to win.
Mm.
You ain't got to make no decisions.
Yeah, that takes some discernment and awareness.
Right.
He said, I'm going to come off the bench.
Yep.
He said, I'm going to come off the bench. And the fact that his mind was in the right place.
I mean, that lets you know he got it. I mean, that's it. That's the switch you need.
He came in and he was the best player on the floor.
Yep.
Not only did he lock down on defense, he didn't force it. And so with all that, I say patience is everything as a parent when you're going through this process.
Yeah, clearly.
You
especially
know
at the level y'all are at, yeah.
Yeah, I seen a lot, and I'm seeing a lot of things go on with parents. And like I said, y'all need to take this advice that I'm handing out, because don't hurt your child. It's kids right now looking for schools but can't get in them, right? Because of the things they have told their children.
Right. Kids ain't coachable anymore.
Ain't coachable.
Right. I took a lot of that advice. I'm sure all our listeners did too. I know Brad was listening. He's got a son who plays baseball at a high level too. So we're all listening to you. My hardest thing is getting my
I'm running my 3-year-old like a dog.
Our man with pink eye there is writing it all down too, Dad. So we appreciate that. Tell me about McMahon and this class that's coming into LSU. I think it's the number 8 class in the country that you're a part of. That's what I looked at 247. It might have been higher at one point, but I think today it's at 8. Tell me about this class and sort of what you're hoping for down at LSU. You're headed there June? You're going to get there early?
June 2nd. Yes, sir.
All right. What are you expecting first year and sort of what McMahon's brought in?
I'm really expecting a lot. You know, Coach McMahon, he's a great coach, great recruiter. He's brought in some great guys with me. And I feel like this year, I think we have a potential to be really good. And that's something for LSU fans to get excited for. I feel like if, you know, we all come together, play as a team, I feel like we can, you know, make a run to the March Madness tournament. And that's pretty much what I've been expecting my first year. And, you know, that's what I've been looking forward to. And that's my dream, you know, as a kid, to be able to play in the March Madness tournament. And I'm pretty sure everyone else is too. So I would just say I hope we can have a great year to where, you know, we could possibly get in the tournament. And hopefully make a run.
Was there something that Matt McMahon, John Morant's former coach, was there a point where you knew something he said or something he showed you, or maybe it was something else, the teammates down there, when you knew it was LSU in terms of his pitch and everything else, was there a certain point where it hit, right, this is the one for me?
I mean, he laid all the evidence down right in front of me. You know, he showed me one day we went to lunch on his laptop. He had the film of all the great guards that played for him, like John Morant, Campaign, Jonathan Starr. He just showed me all of the film and, you know, how he gave them the keys to the offense, keys to the team, and how they just excelled at it. And I saw that, and I just saw myself in every one of those videos. I could just see myself doing the same thing they do.
I know John's got another one, but I got SEC's changing, bro. I don't know. I'm sure you're paying attention now. New coach at Arkansas. Kentucky's got a new coach. Sort of a man. Things getting wild now. What did you think about Cal going to Arkansas?
Right. I was pretty shocked. You know, it was really late at night when it happened, and I saw the ESPN alert, and I was like, wow, Cal to Arkansas. Like, who would have thought? So it was definitely a shocker. And you know, Kentucky, they just got the coach from BYU today. So
yep, Mark Pope.
That's a shocker.
Billy Richmond III, who I know you know, committed to Kentucky, obviously. At one point had LSU on there. I'm not sure. I mean, if whether or not you've had any conversations, I imagine you wouldn't mind having him there with you. I know everybody's got to do their own thing.
Right.
But I'm just wondering, as an LSU guy now, if you'd do any recruiting of him.
Oh, yes, sir, definitely. My mom and his mom were on the phone yesterday, and we were doing some recruiting. You know, we told her we got to get Billy to LSU. We don't know what we got to do, but we got to get him down there with us.
If your dad gave us a ton of advice, if you had advice for young Hooper in Memphis in terms of what they've got to do, if they want to reach a level like you, they want to end up being a Division I basketball player, just in terms of things you would tell them, important you start early, working on this. I know you've put as much work into your body,
right,
as you have on your skills. Just what sort of advice would you offer for the kid, man, that's trying to be the next Curtis Givens III?
Right. I would just say stay patient, you know, stay down. You're going to go through ups and downs, you know, just stay even keel through all of it, because that's what I did, and it helped me a lot. And I would just say be receptive to any information that's given to you and surround yourself with the right people in your circle, and I definitely think you'll be fine.
It seems like running your own race, not being worried about everybody else, and then having a support system like you've got to your right, too, helps a great deal as well. Go ahead.
You know, and that's another thing. You know, don't get caught up, especially at an early age, third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade. You're going to have kids who are going to be a little bit more advanced than yours, okay?
Yep.
Don't get mad because of that, all right? Don't tell your child to be in a competition with another child, right?
Yep.
Run your own race.
Run your own race. Curtis, he's not the best of the best. He's not the worst. One thing about this deal, right, rankings, right, they matter, but they don't matter.
And you can get caught up in it, right?
Don't get caught up in it, right? How many McDonald's All-Americans this year shouldn't sit on the bench, right? How many guys from two guys, starters from UConn with zero stars and won national championship? Curtis, at the time when he went to EYBL last year, was ranked, I think, 54 or something. UConn come straight up off winning national championship, Hurley. Came to the gym, saw him three games. Just wanted, the ones who know gonna know. Out of all them guards ranked in front of him, Hurley called us to death for 22 days, every day. Now, this is a national championship coach now.
Yeah.
He didn't look at no stars. He didn't look. He felt like Curtis was a top three guard in the EYBL. Tom Izzo, Michigan State. He said, I'm not going to recruit your son because I don't think I can get him. He said, but I think he the best guard in 2024, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the rankings don't say that, and I'm not saying that he is, but the ones that matter.
Right.
You got to think, he had 5-star offers. He had over 35 offers from high major schools.
Yep.
From high majors. I mean, Dan Hurley come offer a national championship straight to the gym, and I remember I kept looking at him and seeing him. And he's something else if you talk to him, but a good guy. But he called us every day until I kind of finally told him on the 22nd day, Coach, I don't think he wanted to probably go that far. because I had to be real with
them. I had to be honest with them.
Why? Yeah. I got two other kids coming, right?
Yep.
So with all the coaches that was recruiting, we never got caught up in the hype, right? I still today can call them all. They answer on the first ring because I was real.
The relationship.
With them.
You kept it real.
I kept it real with them.
I know our man John's got one more for you before we get y'all out of here and we're up against it. John, go ahead, John. No, yeah, one more.
Yeah, this is for Dad. I mean, because, you know, obviously you mentioned it, man, just being an entrepreneur and a businessman, you know, in the city. And we are in a new world, you know, with college basketball and NIL and opportunities and value and worth. So for you, and it may not have even been the most important thing, but obviously as a parent, I assume you want to absolutely maximize, you know, your child's value to a university because we know that it's there. So did you lean on anybody when it came to that discussion? How did you sort of personally navigate that for Curtis and just the entire process when making that decision?
Decision on what, NIL? Based
yeah,
off NIL?
Just exactly. Like,
those
you know,
waters.
Exactly. That those discussions.
Well, quite frankly, the way I handled it really maximized his NIL, right? When you talk to those coaches, they said that's the first thing parents ask about.
That's what they're asking now. First thing, that's what they all say. Yep.
They said I was the only parent I never asked one time. Now, Emma Curtis, not one time. I never asked one time. And two things with that, okay? Two things with that. I'm a businessman, so I understand leverage, right? When I wasn't asking, as it got closer, they started calling people around me. Hey, what you think would make them happy?
Uh-huh.
Right? Right? Because I didn't come off as
it was unusual to them, so yeah, they trying to do some homework on it.
And I didn't want to ask if I knew he wasn't going.
Right.
I don't like to lead people on. So once it kind of got down to them top five, right, I still didn't ask. And they just start pitching numbers. Then they'll call back a week later. They'll go up some more and this and that. And I never would respond, right? Because it ain't about the money. You know, we're not, you know, and I thank God, we're not in a situation where we're
money. Yeah, you're in a situation.
Yeah,
fine.
You know what I mean?
Different from some others.
Yeah. But now we want to maximize as well because financial freedom is everything. Right. We all know that.
Yeah.
Because right now, y'all love y'all job. But if ESPN want to put y'all on the main stage, you gone. Why? Because the money, right? So once it got down to those three that he wanted to go to, that's when I then say, hey, what are we realistic looking like on NIL?
Got it.
Now, keep in mind, he got a true blessing from LSU. But they was, out of the five, they was number four on the mount. So it wasn't even about them.
Yeah, you mentioned when he went. Yeah.
They was number four.
Thank you, gentlemen. Curtis Givens III, national.
That was very helpful.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
I think we've all learned a ton today.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.